broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
All right, kill the music. Screw it. Kill it. Okay. This is going to be great. Every now and again, you know, I know, you know, guys, I come in here, I try to do a radio show, and there's just some days, you know, where you just wonder if it's worth it. And here's the thing, you know, there's a certain amount of support you need to do a radio show. I never thought in my wildest dreams that at this particular point in my career, I'd have to have the conversations that I have behind the scenes about support for this radio show. Never thought in my wildest dreams. I did a great, had a lot of fun today. I was with a guy by the name of Mark Maron and did Mark's podcast, the What the F podcast. It's one of the top rated comedy podcasts on iTunes. Because that's my business, comedy. I mean, that's kind of what I do, satire. Now, I'm doing satire and I'm doing comedy in a medium that is just, I got to be honest with you, you know, is just, as we speak, is dying, especially when it comes to comedy. You know, radio is, it's a tragedy what's happened to this industry. Tragedy. And I hang it all on the guys that run these companies. I don't hang it on the talent. We're working our asses off. And it's almost like a contest for these guys to see how much tougher they can make it for us as we come in here every day. And there's one thing they do that they don't want. They don't want to be talked about in a bad way. So I'll just, you know, I'll leave it at that. But in talking with Mark today, he has a very successful podcast. He's like a model for a lot of us. He is a guy that we were talking about the art of broadcasting. Do you understand? I haven't talked about the art of broadcasting with anybody for years. Years! The art of broadcasting. What does it take to actually do a radio show? What's the fun we can have? What are the things we can do? What are the tools at our disposal? How can we create? There isn't anybody, I'm telling you folks, I haven't had that conversation for years. You want to know why? Because there isn't anybody in this business that has, beyond the people who work on air, that has any interest in that topic. You think I'm kidding? You know how I used to grouse about this stuff on the pre-show? I was talking to Mark today, and I swear to God, this is a guy that did stand-up comedy, and his career was on a certain, you know, arc, and he'd been there and had done that and started to do some radio shows, got into the podcast game, and now this cat has, not only does he have a great audience for his podcast, he has advertisers, he's getting written up in the New York Times, the guy is a prototype for what is happening in the world of audio entertainment. He's a prototype for where our business is going. And where it ain't going is radio. I'm one of the few guys, people yell at me and say, boy, you sure are down on the radio business. I'm one of the few guys that cares, man. I'm talking about it because I care, because I love it, because I want it to survive. And I got news for you. The guys that are in charge of this industry who would tell you the same thing, not only are they lying to you, but everything they do every single day is just one more, you know, one more shovel of dirt. So I'm talking to him today. He's got a home studio. We had a great time. And as I said, we were talking about the art of broadcasting. And I said to him, you know, I was asking him questions, and I was asking him these questions while we were on the air, and it was a great conversation. One of the great things about podcasting is there's so many different places you can go, and there's so many different kinds of podcasts. But bottom line was, I couldn't believe it when I heard this guy repeating the very things that I say to people. And what that did was it made me feel good because I realized I wasn't alone. In other words, you can feel really isolated sometimes. You know, you can feel just really freaking isolated, man, in this world of radio because, you know, the talent is so frightened of losing their job. I'm not afraid of losing this gig because I've already got a living. I'm making my living online. I'm making my living in the digital world. I'm making my living doing voiceovers. There's nothing, you know, this gig here, believe me when I tell you, it's, you know, I'm lucky, but there's people that really need this work, this radio work, this world of radio. And it's, I feel so sorry for them. Really do. And, he was telling me today, Mark Maron, and I heartily recommend that you check out his podcast. He was saying to me today his experiences, like he worked for Air America. Now, Air America, a lot of people who are listening to me right now, because the only people that are left listening to talk radio are conservative kind of people that dig that. You know, I could care less. I care about my country, but radio, there wasn't any charter that I'm aware of that the federal government delivered to the radio station owners of America and said, you must talk about politics if you ever invent something called talk radio. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's what the audience wanted to hear. No, they didn't. No, they did not want to hear it. They wanted to hear good broadcasters. That's why they listen to Rush Limbaugh, because he's a good broadcaster. That's why they don't listen to some conservatives, because they suck. You know? So people want to hear whatever's entertaining. But I'm just talking about this stuff because I got to tell you, walking into a radio studio each and every day and trying to do a great show and operating in the environment that most of us are operating in these days, I'm going to tell you, it's just not the business that I wanted to get into. And I'll be very grateful, you know, when I'm able to deliver to you guys the kind of radio show that I want to deliver to you without the constraints, because it doesn't get easier, it gets tougher. It doesn't get easier, it gets more difficult, and it becomes a situation where I got no choice, but I got to talk to you about it. I have to talk about it on the air. It becomes so onerous. It's like holding back the Johnstown or the Jonestown or whatever town it was. It's a bad flood, I know that. It's like trying to hold back that tsunami. Pretty soon, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to say something. You got to create the, you know, you have to create an environment for yourself where you've got to get this stuff off your chest, you know. And I'm, you know, what I do on the radio here is difficult enough without having to walk in here and realizing that my tools are not where they should be. For instance, you know, what I was talking about at the very beginning. But I know that you didn't tune in tonight to hear this, and I apologize that I had no choice. I have no choice.
Well, be a professional, Phil.
Let me tell you something. The very people that say be a professional, they don't know how to spell it. They don't know what it is. The very people that would say to me, be a professional, Phil, these lightweights have no idea what it is to do a radio show or any kind of a show. So if somebody wants to tell me to be a professional, I'll talk to another guy that works on the air, but I won't talk to some suit. Thank you very much. The last one of these guys, I'll never forget going to the NAB in Las Vegas. And I was looking at one of these guys that I worked for. I won't mention the market, but he was a general manager. We didn't get along, and there were obvious reasons why we didn't get along. One of the reasons became readily apparent to me as I stood there talking to him and saying, hey, how you doing, man? That's fantastic. And I looked at all the blown up veins in his nose as he stood there nursing, I don't know which drink it was, probably his 10th or 11th. You know, you get to a point when you're doing those kinds of guys that people that have to rely on booze. And I don't get that. It's not a problem that I have. If you've got an alcohol problem, you got to go get it treated. But I can tell you, if you've got one of those problems and you're running something like a radio station, God forbid you're a surgeon or doing something like that. But if you're actually running a radio station and you got the veins in your nose are just popping each and every night as you put yourself to sleep with another scotch, buddy, you know, get your priorities in order. because you ain't got any business telling anybody anything other than, where's the cab stand? I have to get myself to the detox center. All right, let's take a break. I had to get that off my chest. I'm now going to get Ted Bell in here, and he can do the rest of the show. Right, Ted? Is he ready? Is Ted going to do the show tonight? Because I'm not. That's why I've been taking these nights off. That's why I had Steve Bozell. I have all of these marvelous people on the Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We got to have the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. Don't turn the music down. Turn it back up, Dan. I don't want to yell at you. Phil, you know, walked out of here. No, forget it. We can't find it. All right, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Turn the music off. No wonder Phil loses his temper. Anyway, welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Ted Bell. And I'm going to be here. You know, one of the reasons why I'm here is because I'm trying to... I'm going to try and extract from the Phil Hendry Show the last shred of entertainment value that it may have. And and the way we're going to do that is by telling Phil to get the hell out of here and go home for the night. That's number one. And number two, I'm just going to have to try and, you know, create a radio program tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that we hope you enjoy, that we hope you are happy with. We don't know how many listeners are left of this radio show. We don't know if there's any radio stations that actually carry this show anymore, but to the extent that there are some, you know, we're going to do what we can to try and create a listening environment for you that is fun, that is, but the first thing we had to do is get Phil out of here because he was ready to commit murder. The second thing that we need to do is find the Tens of Beverly Hills jingle, which I will find, and I will try to get on the air for you. The third thing that I need to do is find some news, which has not been printed up because there's no printer ink. So, you see, if this was my restaurant, everybody would have been fired. And we would have a big sign in the window that says, Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills is hiring. And we would have begun to reinvent or reconstruct the radio show. Now, I have a restaurant. It's in Beverly Hills, California. It's called Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm on the air tonight because there were a lot of people requesting that I come on and guest host here at the Phil Hendry Show, and that's what I'm trying to do. I didn't want to do it. I told Phil that it wouldn't be any good. I said, I'm better as a guest. He wouldn't listen. He said he's got a lot of people who are bothering him. They want me in to guest host. Okay, fine. That's what you want me to do. That's great. But I'm telling you right now, you made a big mistake. Because this is not what I do. And it's already rather uncomfortable for me. It's hot in here. It smells. And I'd rather be in Beverly Hills at my restaurant doing something, anything other than this. However, this is the radio business. The last time somebody talked to me about it, they said that it was an entertainment medium, and so, okay, I'll try my best. I don't really do politics. I do have some opinions. I tend to be a conservative, but I got a lot of liberals that come to my restaurant, and so I've got to make them happy. And so, therefore, I have to pretend like I like them. And that's how you do business. You don't get business done by sticking your finger in a guy's chest and telling him this and that. But I am Ted Bell. I know how to do these things. Now, I'm looking for my... here we have it, right here. The Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle. I think this is it. No, that's the theme from the Highway Patrol. Here we go. Ted's of Beverly Hills. And here it goes. There we go. Now, wait a minute. There's something wrong. Here we go.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Come all right, so that is the commercial here on the Ted's of Beverly Hills Show, if you want to call it the Ted's of Beverly Hills Show. We've got a great steakhouse. We invite you to come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills and enjoy the food that we are serving at the steakhouse, where I'd rather be tonight, not here. I'd much rather be at the restaurant tonight. than sitting here, because quite honestly, there's a lot more fun going on. Now, I don't know, you know, if they want me to take phone calls in the program tonight. I don't want to take any phone calls. And the reason is it's got nothing to do with anything other than the fact that it's not that I don't like talking to people. I love to talk to people, but I don't know why I should talk to anybody. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I'm doing this show tonight as a favor to Phil Hendry. I own a steakhouse, but I'm doing this show as a favor to Phil Hendry. I'm doing this show really as a favor to everybody in the radio business. But taking phone calls from people, I'm not going to do. Not unless they are properly screened, because I don't want to talk to so many idiots. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I don't, it's not, there's nothing against anybody that calls talk shows, but a lot of what I hear makes me, it has caused me, and this is not, I'm not kidding, it has caused me to spit up just briefly. I was having some dinner the other night. I was listening to the talk show, and there was a guy talking, and I spit up because it was ridiculous what the guy was talking about. However, we will if we have to take some phone calls. But right now, I'm going to settle into this. I think Mr. Hendry is at home. I think he's doing okay. And we'll do the very best we can tonight. I can assure you of that. Let me tell you a little bit about Teds of Beverly Hills. We were founded in 1975 by my father, Ted Bell Sr. And I took over the restaurant in the early 80s, just after he died. He died from alcohol poisoning. Thank you very much for your condolences. And I know a lot of you are right now saying, oh, that's terrible. And it was terrible. It was. But we all, we lived through it. He was in a coma. He was in a jail cell, to be perfectly honest with you. He'd been arrested for, he'd been basically arrested for just being who he was. He was well known in Beverly Hills at the time because he owned the restaurant. He owned the Ted's Beverly Hills restaurant, Ted Sr. It was a successful restaurant, but unfortunately, because of my father's habits, which included alcohol abuse as well as gambling and some other things, we had a very difficult time keeping the restaurant solvent. By this time, I'd graduated from USC. I did have my degree in marketing. I was married. We were planning a family. And there's my father, and I find out that he's been arrested for, and I asked the officer at the Beverly Hills substation, I said, well, what has he been arrested for? And he said, Ted, I got to tell you, we've arrested your father for basically just being who he is. And I said, say no more. A lot of people might have taken that as an insult. I knew exactly what he was talking about. He was just saying, you know, your dad, we know your father very well. He knows us. This is a very, very comfortable relationship that we have with your dad. I'm not talking about a supplier of meat. I'm not talking about a supplier of alcohol. I'm talking about the Beverly Hills Police Department. We have a very comfortable relationship with your father. Remember that, that's what he said. And I said, well, where is he? He said he's back there. And he said, what do you think he's doing? Look, the cop looked at me, the watch commander at the Beverly Hills substation over there on, I forget now where, it was over there on, near Rodeo. And he said, well, he's back there. What do you think he's doing? I said, is he unconscious? He said, bingo, give the man a cigar. He actually did pull out a Tipperillo, which some of you may remember what a Tipperillo is. It was a bad cigar is what it was. But, to be more specific, a Tipperillo had a wood holder on the end of it. They came with these little wood tips. So, make a long story short, my father was in jail, and that is where he stayed. That's the last place he was, because he just passed out dead drunk. And the next time I saw him, and please understand that it's okay. So, you don't have to worry. The next time I saw him was really not him so much as it was a bag. And you got it. He was bagged up. And my mother was very upset. And I said, Mom, it's you, me, and that bag over there. And I said, but, here's the good news. It'll just be you and me in about, 35 to 40 minutes, because that's when they pulled away with the bag. And when we finally did put my father in the ground, it wasn't a bag, it was a box. And when you're in a coffin, especially the one that I purchased, it now becomes something more. It isn't just you, it is the grand, it's the entire ceremony. It wasn't just my dad, it was the money I was spending to bury him. This is the Ted Bell Show. It's the Phil Henry Show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, but I'm Ted Bell, and we're going to come back and we'll talk to you. We'll take some of your phone calls and talk and see, and and see how you feel. I want to know how you feel. I want to know how I feel. How are we doing tonight? Phil Henry was in a state.
Phil Henry.
Ah, that's his name. We'll be right back. My name is Ted Bell, and I am the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, which is a restaurant in the Beverly Hills area. And I think that you can do worse by not coming to. You can do worse by you can do worse than my restaurant is what I'm trying to say. And you would do worse if you didn't come to our restaurant. If you come to the Beverly Hills area, Los Angeles, we are there on Dayton, and we invite you to come to our restaurant. I would love to tell you about our restaurant. I want to give you the story of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I want to do it right. And I have with me today Gary Van Shelton, who is an engineer that I brought for my purposes. It is not that I don't appreciate the crew that Mr. Henry has assembled here on the Phil Henry Show, and I think it's an important crew because they work well with him, but I need my guy, and that's what I'm going to do here with Gary Van Shelton. So, Gary, hit it. No, don't hit it yet. But hit it when I tell you to. Don't hit it yet. Don't hit it yet. Don't hit it yet. Don't hit it yet. Please, Gary, don't do that. Please watch. Gary, are you watching me? Don't say anything because I don't believe in this crosstalk. I hear an awful lot of chit-chat and blah, 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 blah when I'm listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And he's world-famous for a reason. Let me tell you, there's nobody who is a greater admirer of Phil Henry. I think he's done a fantastic job with his career. I think he's revolutionized radio in oh so many ways. But I do things my way. And the way that I do things, I brought in Gary Van Shelton. He's an engineer with great experience, so I don't want to have any cross. Gary knows when to keep his mouth shut, so I wasn't really telling you, Gary, to shut up because you already know to shut up. I wanted people to know that I don't do the crosstalk thing with the blah, blah, blah in the background. All right, Gary, when I cue you, I want you to play that music for me. And what I want to do is don't play it yet, don't play it yet, don't play it yet, Gary. Don't play it yet, Gary. Gary, look at me. Look at me. Look at me, Gary. Don't play it. Thank you. And when I ask you to play the music, then you will play the music because I want to, okay, I've got to hold on for just a minute. I wore some tight pants tonight because I stopped by the restaurant. And again, ladies and gentlemen, listen to my words. Don't necessarily listen to what I am. What I am is a restaurant owner, and I have to shake hands, and I got to do the glad hand thing, and I got to hang around and do the maitre d' and the owner of the restaurant thing. Those of you who own restaurants, you know what I'm talking about. But tonight I stopped by the restaurant, and some nights I will, like tonight is Monday night. Tonight is a tough night, and it's tough for people to enjoy themselves on a Monday night. So if we get a crowd in for dinner on a Monday night, by God, I am appreciative of that. And I stopped by the house tonight because we were going to get set up for tonight. I knew I was going to do the radio show, but I stopped by the house tonight because I'm going to go in for closing. When we get done at 1, we close the bar at 2, and I want to get back over there. Because we do have a nice crowd there between 1 and 2, and a lot of the people that come in are entertainment people. But I wanted to stop by the house and get on a pair of extra tight pants. And I'm not trying to be an ego case. This is nothing salacious. But I do like to get some pants on that hug the legs and hug the areas to give the crowd a little bit, especially the women. And I don't think I'm the hottest guy in the world, believe me, but you can do worse than Ted Bell. But a lot of the ladies do come in because they love talking to me. So on a Monday night, what I like to do is put on some pants that are snug and that suck up. And when I say that, I don't mean suck up as in the pants that I wear are trying to impress me. That's ridiculous. What I mean is they tighten up and they suck into the different crevices and, you know, when you wear tight pants, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to look at? What are you trying to look like? What are you trying to look at? What do you want them to look at is what I'm saying. Don't do it yet, Gary. Gary, don't do it yet. Gary, don't do it yet. When you wear tight pants, what do you want the lady that you're wearing the tight pants for? What do you want her to see? Well, you want her to see the areas that the pants are hugging tight. And there are certain pants that you're going to wear that is certainly going to hug areas that are going to be, for instance, leather pants, vinyl pants, any pair of pants that has a sheen or any kind of a shimmer to it. So if you're wearing a pair of pants that are very tight, and I don't mean tight that they're uncomfortable, and that's why I had to stand up and give, and if you'll pardon me, I got to do it again. I know this chair that Phil has got, Gary Van Shelton, the engineer that I brought with me tonight, can we get me a chair that doesn't squeak? Is there a chair anywhere within a couple of blocks of this place? Do you think so, Gary? All right, Gary, go look for a chair for me that doesn't squeak. I appreciate that very much. Gary Van Shelton, who is a top-notch engineer that I brought in here with me. Not yet, Gary. Gary, where is he? Gary, come on back in here, Gary. Come on back in. You got to turn that off. Turn it off, Gary. Turn the music is what I'm saying. Why'd you turn it on? I'm not ready to do... Folks, I apologize. Thank you. Now go find me a chair that doesn't squeak. In fact, don't forget the chair. Sit back down there. Sit back down over where you were sitting. Where you were sitting. Why are you sitting on the couch? Go. All right. You know what I'm going to do, Gary? I think in his own way, in his own autistic way, I'm kidding around, Gary, but, you know, maybe we should have you. Is there a test? What do you take? What drug do you take, or where do you go? What city do you visit, or what pill do you take, or what hypodermic needle do you look at fondly to find out if you have any kind of an autistic problem? Have you thought about that, Gary? Have you thought about the possibility that you're autistic? You have not, but sometimes you are. Gary Van Shelton, who's a great engineer and is with me, because I would wonder, how would I know if I was autistic? Where would I go? And do I worry about that? No, I do not. Were I Gary Van Shelton? Yes, I would. So where do you go? That's a very interesting question, isn't it, Gary? And I think what we're going to want to do is probably try to answer that sometime tonight here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell Filling In. All right. 1, 2, 3. Hit it, Gary. Hi, I'm Ted Bell, and I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. And it's such a treat, and it's a joy and a treat. And a joy and an opportunity for more joy to be here with the Phil Henry Show here tonight to tell you a little bit about Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are in Beverly Hills, duh. Although we do have a Ted's of Beverly Hills in Washington, D.C., there in the Capitol area, right near the Capitol building. That's where we have so many of the greats, the luminaries, the stars of the Washington, D.C. political scene to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills. And how do I know that? Because I've been to that restaurant. I've seen the pictures on the wall with me standing with who? Candy Crowley with CNN. Dan Rather. I had my picture taken with John McCain. The current president, then senator from Illinois, Barack Obama. I had my photograph taken with Kate Bailey Hutchinson. I had my photograph taken with Bob Schieffer. I had my photograph taken with the very lovely and very, very talented Bobby Batista. I had my photograph taken with one of the shining stars of the D.C. News Corps, Sam Donaldson. I had my photograph taken, and it's hanging there in the restaurant, me and one of the big power players in Washington for a great many years, and you know who he is. God rest his soul, Ted Kennedy. I had my photograph taken, and it hung there in Ted's of Beverly Hills until he did some things that I didn't appreciate. Gary Condit. That's right, Gary Condit. I had my photograph taken. I said, this guy is going places. Yeah, he was. Back to California. I feel so personally betrayed. However, I had my photograph taken with a very avuncular, a rather mirth-filled man. I don't necessarily agree with all of his politics, but he's a nice guy, one hell of a guy, Harry Reid. I had my photograph taken, and it hangs in our restaurant, me and a lady. I got to tell you something, up close next to her, she is a very lovely woman. I found her to be very lovely, very beautiful. And Marcy, honey, you know I love you, but watch out. This gal, I'm joking around, honey. But I like her a lot. Her politics, again, leave a real bad taste in my mouth. The politics of Nancy Pelosi, and I think she's a wonderful... We had so many laughs. I had my photograph taken with Nancy Pelosi. It hangs in our restaurant. It hangs there in what we informally call the Pelosi Room, which is a very beautiful sitting area, tea area. She's a beautiful woman. I had my photograph taken with, and it hangs in the bar, not because that's indicative of anything, but just because Jesse Helms. Do you remember Jesse Helms? Jesse Helms, his politics were straight up a part of the body where only the most foul of things pass through. That's where Jesse Helms' politics are. But the man is beautiful. Or was. And speaking of that, speaking of a guy whose politics are strictly from a place in outer space that I'm sure they still eat their young, but a hell of a nice guy and a great golfer, Strom Thurmond. So many of these people have come to our restaurant in Washington, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Capital District Restaurant, and they have made it what it is today, one of the great magnets, I think. It is. There's something magnetic about the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Washington, D.C. People tell me they feel they're sucked into it, and they say that with great appreciation, Ted's of Beverly Hills. So that's the story of one of our restaurants, the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be telling you about one other restaurant that we have. We actually have two. We had four, but we now only have Ted's of Beverly Hills, the Ted's of Beverly Hills in the Capital District, Washington, D.C., the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Walnut Creek, Northern California, and the Ted's of Beverly Hills, Honolulu. Our Miami Beach Ted's of Beverly Hills closed down, and we had some problems there. We had problems. I had the idea of hiring, and I'm going to tell you something. It was a great idea. It was a $1 million idea. I think the customers really did love it, but I think that there were too many religious nuts that, pardon me for saying this, too many religious nuts that made it impossible. The idea that I had for the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Miami Beach was to have, I don't want to use the word that is immediately going to be recognizable to you. There's two words, and Gary Van Shelton, why don't you play the music that I told you to play so that they will understand what it was that I was shooting for at the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Miami Beach. And as Gary Van Shelton, do you know the music I'm talking about, Gary? All right. As Gary Van Shelton gets that music ready, when you hear this music, then it will soften the blow, if you'll pardon the expression, as Phil likes to say, and I think it's cute when he says that. We've taken to doing that at the restaurant. We'll say, are you going to the bathroom, if you'll pardon the expression? And I know Phil uses it in a different way. All right, here we go. Here we go. This song is going to give you the idea of what it is we did with the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Miami Beach when it came to the servers. All right? When it came to the servers. And, all right, here it is. Yeah. Yeah. Do-do-do-do. I love to dance. This is something you don't know about Ted Bell, but God, do I love to dance. Yes. You can't see it right now, but I'm swirling around the studio. Huh? How about it, Gary? What do you think? Yeah. Now, I'm back. Yeah. All right, here, watch this. I would be... Yeah. Now, I know this is a... I know it's gay. Let me sit down here for a minute. All right, Gary, lower the volume, Gary. Good going, Gary. All right. That's a gay song, and that's a gay man, Sylvester. You got it. I hired men dressed as women to be the servers at Ted's of Beverly Hills, Miami Beach. Yeah, you can't see me, but I'm just doing spins and pirouettes here because I got nobody to dance with. I wish the camera really captured this. Woo! All right, let me sit out here. Okay, Gary, cut it. I don't want people to think we have a great relationship with the gay community in Beverly Hills, and we did in Miami Beach, but the religious. There was a religious atmosphere in Miami Beach which caused us to have to shut the restaurant down. But I'll tell you, it was a glorious 2 weeks of having guys dressed as women serving and then doing the floor show. Oh, yeah. No, see, I get the feeling there's people out there saying, okay, so what? So you had guys dressed as women serving the steaks. No, but then they would stop mid-evening and put on a floor show. And, you know, if you were hungry, you know, I hope you didn't come in right when they started the floor show, okay, because that would be bad. But if you were not hungry, you sit down, have a drink, you order your steak, and the waiter says, okay, sir, I'll be back. We're going to do a show. Just don't worry about it. And you make me feel mighty. And then you hear that. And I'll tell you something. When you come into a Ted's of Beverly Hills, the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Miami Beach, and you hear this music, and then I join with the guy girls, and a lot of guys are put off by this. It doesn't bother me at all. I would join with them in the big closing number, and that's why I worked on my dancing here. I even remember the steps now. Yeah. Yeah. Now I do two spins here. I got to sit down. I feel like I'm going to throw up. All right, so there you go, and that was the Ted's of Beverly Hills in Miami Beach. 2 weeks of glory, 2 weeks of a lot of fun. Ted Bell here filling in for Phil Henry on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back to tell you a little bit more about the Ted's of Beverly Hills, the Ted Bell, the North Cabin Bed. I had to talk fast, so we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
But there's just a twist. There's a little bit of change. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, but guess what? You got it. I'm Ted Bell.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
And it's Ted Bell here. Gary Van Shelton is my engineer. We're talking about Ted's of Beverly Hills, the restaurant, the steaks, the juicy prime rib, the pork loin, the loin cut, the lamb chop. Boy, I haven't. You got it. And let me tell you something about that slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. A lot of people want to turn that into something really childish. That was a slogan that Ray Don Levy and the entire crew at Bunzinger's advertising agency in New York City, they worked long and hard to come up with that slogan. And I tell you, it has worked wonders. It has been magic for Ted's of Beverly Hills. So for anyone to say that that is somehow childish, or to attribute to it or to apply to it something that is less than adult and less than what it should be, which is a simple sales pitch, I think you need help. I think you need serious medical psychiatric help. But I sure I'm glad that you've joined us here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Ted Bell for Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I am Ted Bell. I am Ted Bell. Let's just think about that for a minute. I'm Ted Bell. People will say, you're Ted Bell. If you live and work in the Beverly Hills, California area, and you hear someone say, there goes Ted Bell, you nod with an assuredness and an arched eyebrow. And that is you saying, yep, I recognize that name. Now, it could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but one thing that it doesn't mean is I've never heard of him, because that's not what that means. Everyone in Beverly Hills knows Ted Bell. They know Ted Bell. They know when I'm coming. They know when I'm going. They know what I represent. I'm not just a guy walking in the room. I'm not just a man walking in the room, and I don't want to talk about myself because I don't really have that kind of an ego. I'm embarrassed talking about myself. It sickens me. Physically makes me ill to talk about myself. I'm not comfortable. Some people, they've got the ego problems, but I would rather not. But I will tell you that when I walk into a room, it's not just a man walking in. It's a series of possibilities that's just walked in. When I walk into a room, it's not just a man walking in. It's a past, a present, and a future. It's your past, present, and future. I had a guy say to me one day, and I said, what are you talking about, Charlie? Get out of here, will you crazy, creepy old bum. Charlie Effervesse, who was over at the Friars Club, because I was over at the Friars Club. They were having a roast for, I forget who it was. Gary, you were there. Who was that roast for? It wasn't another roast for another guy that they forgot was dead, was it? They did that one time. They had forgotten that Milton Berle was dead, and they put on a roast, and they said, okay, and where is he? And they said he died several years ago. And the guy that was the toastmaster or the roastmaster or the roasted master is something, he was beside himself with anger, as I would be. He said, where is he? He said, Milton Berle is dead. And the roastmaster said, well, he may be dead, but where is he? Because that's the reaction you have. You're in shock. You know, you're in shock that when you are the roastmaster for... Let me tell you something. I have been the host of a great many toastings. Not a toasting. It's called a roasting. And I made the joke, by the way, Gary. Remember when I made the joke? I said, I hope that... Are they roasting a guy tonight, or are they just lightly toasting him? And Gary said, and this is to Gary's credit, he said, well, I like mine with butter. And I said... You realize where that's going? And he said, yeah, I do. Ha ha. So we had a nice laugh. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I had to come on to save this show tonight because Phil was in such a foul, rotten mood that I told him to get out of here, and I don't ever want to see him around this studio again until he has straightened himself out and he's got a smile on his face. His fly is zipped up. That's what I said to him. Believe it or not, I said, Phil, I want you back here with a smile on your face and your fly zipped up. And he looked down and he started to cry.
Phil
Henry. He did. He started to cry. All right, well, we'll be back.